Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
One is Mark and John's the other. They love the holidays and the presents. Two old queens, it's two old queens. Holidays Jubilee 2019, it's two old queens, it's two old queens.
Five golden rings.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas. Ring-a-ding-ding.
Ding-ding-ding. Speaking of ring-a-ding-dings, our guest today, oh my goodness, Mark, let us know who it is.
He's a writer and comedian and co-host of the podcast Why Do You Know That? And my former roommate, it's Steve Slaga.
Whoa, it's true. I asked for that to be included in my credits. It's on
but
my
not
IMDb.
Even when it's, not even when you're with me. Just anywhere
yes.
you go.
Anywhere I go. Yeah. Any showcase I'm in.
Sure. Merry Christmas, Steve.
Thank you.
It's Christmas Day.
I'm so glad to be spending Christmas Day with the both of you.
Recording a podcast.
Yeah. We were so smart to ignore our families.
That's so true. Yeah. They've had enough of us.
Yeah.
I've never gotten any subscribers out of them.
Mm-hmm. Nope. I don't think my brother listens to my podcast, which is fine.
It's fine. You know, if you need to go beyond family and friends, if you really want to build an audience.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm also not happy today on Christmas because my brother and sister-in-law decided that they didn't want to do presents this year, but we're still expected to get gifts for I still need to get gifts for my nephews.
Well, of course.
But it's like, okay, so I'm spending all this money to fly to Michigan for like 4 days, and I have to get I think that they should buy presents for my nephews and put my name on them.
Yeah,
I think
that's
what would be fair. Mm-hmm.
Or just, you don't have to give your nephew anything.
I would like to be offered that. I will clearly get my nephews for something, but when my brother is like
nephews?
7 and 4.
Okay, yeah.
I have to.
That's
and one's
tough.
My godson.
Gotcha.
And
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
very
are you
Catholic
like,
about no, I'm not.
Are you, are you like a like very like into being the uncle?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. It's the most fun, especially when you're like far away and not seen as much, because then when you're around, it's a big old
treat. It's a treat.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, and the stuff that they opened today from me, I bet they liked.
They're gonna love. I bet they loved it.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Don't spoil it, because they might listen to this podcast.
Fine, we
don't
haven't bought it yet.
We have a 4-year-old
I mean,
listening to this.
This would be the episode for 4-year-olds, I feel.
That's true.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe, sure.
Do you have any like favorite Christmas traditions, Steve?
My family has always been very big into Advent calendars.
I love Advent calendars.
My mom made one that was like felt that was very important to us as a kid, that as kids that my brother has now. And I really want wanted.
Was it the same thing like every year?
It was a reusable, it was always the same.
Yeah. Were there like tokens in it or something?
Yes, they were little felt. It was like a Christmas tree with little pieces of Velcro.
Oh, I see.
I assumed that you guys, when I said advent calendar, that it just is the advent calendar. So I assumed you guys pictured it immediately. It's a large felt Christmas tree.
Gotcha.
And then a bunch of pockets numbered 1 through, can you guess?
24.
Yes.
Oh, this is the iconic family.
And they're all little felt ornaments, and then every day you put one on, and it was, you know, you would fight over who got to put them on as kids.
John, you have an advent calendar.
Yes, my mother sent me a Harry Potter Lego advent calendar.
That's fun.
Isn't that sweet?
What are you going to do with all these Legos when they're done?
I don't know. I guess just stage a Hogwarts nativity.
Through January?
Well... The house down the street for me, Steve and I were talking, they have a very elaborate light system that they keep up through February, sometimes through March.
You know what? I'm for it.
When you put that much effort into it?
Yeah, it would seem insane to just have it up for 4 weeks.
And if it wasn't like 2019 going into 2020 and the world wasn't ending, maybe take down your Christmas lights, but joys are so hard to find these days.
The Vegas Bellagio fountains are year-round. No one complains about that.
I do.
You do?
I wrote them that letter. You proofread it.
That's true. You misspelled Ocean's 11.
That's true. Oceans and 11. I misspelled both words.
So you could have just used a number. I don't know why you chose to write it out.
I don't know why they chose to put so many E's in it.
Too many E's. What is your like Christmas day? Do you have like Chris? Do you guys do the like you could open one present on Christmas Eve?
No, I
Neither
think that's
do
a,
we.
I think do you do that?
No, I think it's
that
wrong.
Is a myth that was invented for like television and movies to be like, oh, we can have a scene where it's just one present. It doesn't have to be insane. But I don't know anyone who actually does one gift on Christmas Eve.
Ours is in flux. It's changed a little bit. And now with my brother and sister-in-law not doing presents.
Ugh.
I won't. I'll mention it so many times.
They're the socialists of the family.
Yeah, they are.
They're radicals.
But normally, the way it used to be was my grandparents and aunts and uncles would come to my house on Christmas Eve, and so I would exchange presents with like cousins and grandma and grandpa and my aunt. And then for some reason, my brother and sister, we would exchange our sibling Christmas presents on Christmas Eve, and then Christmas morning was presents from mom and dad. Now we just kind of. Do it as we please. Like it's always on Christmas now, but sometimes we're like, let's do it later today, or let's come over in the morning.
And the kids can handle that?
Oh no, it's definitely after the kids do theirs. Like my brother does Christmas morning for the nephews. Yeah, they can't wait.
My mom likes every present, like because it'll be me, my nephews, my brother and sister-in-law, my parents, and me, maybe my partner at the time.
Maybe we'll see.
She wants every present opened one at a time. None of this mass chaos.
She
wants to see everyone's reaction. This is like her crack, I think. Seeing someone open a present and
their
facial reaction.
That's why I'm so pressed about this no gift thing is I enjoy the process of finding something for someone, putting thought into it, giving it to them, and them knowing like, oh, Steve thought of this for me. I don't really like lists. I don't do gift cards. And I'm being denied that this year is how I feel.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're like the anti-Scrooge.
Yeah.
You want to give more gifts. You want to put more into Christmas.
Well,
and
yeah, but
taking
I also
it away from you.
Get them, too.
Well, sure.
Sure. But then you got to fly back. Were you really going to take an Instant Pot on that plane?
I did ask for a slow cooker.
Oh, so you made a list yourself, I see.
Yeah, I see. Yeah. You right. never
so,
know who's listening.
Well, other lists are bad, but your lists, those are fine.
My family has just never understood. Like, they're very list based. Like, because now the way we do it, my dad's not good at Christmas shopping and very lazy. So basically, and my brother doesn't want anything. So I do the Christmas shopping on behalf of my dad for my sister. My sister does it on behalf of my dad for me. And my sister just a couple weeks ago.
Early December, texted
me in and said, I think I'm just going to buy my own presents and you can wrap them. And I kind
of. What do you get out of this?
I lost my mind.
Why are you kidding? To me, that sounds like heaven.
Really?
Why does he have to wrap them?
Wrapping yourself is fine. I was like, I'm not involved in this at all. I wasn't bothered by wrapping them. I felt out of the loop.
Oh.
I just felt like everybody in my family's given up on Christmas presents as if there's more to the holiday. But my nephews still get stuff.
Right. Then aren't we all kids at heart?
Right.
We should be on Christmas.
Especially.
Yeah. Wrapping's not that hard. I think it's funny when people are like, oh, I have to wrap presents. Like, all you have to do is fold paper. It's not that difficult.
And tape.
And tape. You're right.
And like,
yes.
You either do really good and take your time and people will be like, oh, wow, you're good at wrapping. Or you do it shitty and they're like, how charming.
Yeah, homemade.
There's nothing more infuriating me than think, like, eyeballing it. You put it down on the paper. You think, all right. And then like being like
just a
quarter
short.
Of an inch short. Oh. I hate that. Oh. And then you have to cut another strip and it looks like shit.
Okay. Would you cut a small strip to cover that little slit? Or would you do
piece.
A whole new piece?
I don't like how you said slit. But I will some if I have more presents to wrap that well that one will
might
fit
save
for,
it for
I
later
might save
on
it.
It
for a DVD. Mm. Oh, gotcha, sure, DVD sure. anymore. I used to work at a stationery slash Hallmark store and we would wrap presents there for people. Like they would buy things there and like wrap them. And they'd always be so disappointed when I would wrap them because I would just wrap them, but like the girls would get like really into it.
Like,
and,
the like, ribbon
curl
and
the ribbon.
You should nobody should be required to do
it's
any
free.
Wrapping. All the more reason they shouldn't be curling the ribbons.
Right.
They're setting an unrealistic standard.
I did get into using the double stick tape for a time.
Oh, wow.
And that is classy.
Right, because there's no lines.
There's no lines. It's just clean.
Oh, I seems like the paper is magically clung to the gift.
Yeah, like how does it do that?
I'll have to give that a try. I'm known for using like I'll either, I started to say fun, but it's not fun. It's rude. I just use whatever wrapping paper, like my dad's house has a lot of excess. So it's normally like old baby shower or birthday or yeah, plain. Right. Because it's like, why go buy wrapping paper that has Christmas on it? And I think it's funny. I think it's cute.
I had one roll of Spider-Man Christmas wrapping that literally I used for 4 years.
Yeah. Sure. Well, Christmas wrapping is sort of once a year kind of thing.
You
I have
know,
some rolls
right.
of Christmas wrapping paper that I've had for years, too. Yeah. That's like, still got it.
It really sort of is. Once a
they're
year
the Liza
thing.
Of it's, your stationery.
How's that? How
they still
mean?
Got it.
She's still got it. Oh, gotcha. She's still got it.
Speaking of still got it, we are celebrating Holigays Jubilee 2019. And you're smack dab. This is our last Christmas episode. We'll have a New Year's movie next. But the movie you chose is Gremlins.
The Christmas classic Gremlins.
I don't know why I'm having problems.
You said that like you want nothing to do with my decision.
We'll
the movie
see.
You chose was
you
Gremlins.
You ruined Christmas this year.
John, recap Gremlins for us.
Well,
what's
sure.
The gist?
Gremlins is a 1984 American comedy horror film written by Chris Columbus and directed by Joe Dante. It stars Jack Galligan, Phoebe Cates, Polly Holiday, Judge Reinhold, and Corey Feldman, with Howie Mandel providing the voice of Gizmo. And it is the story follows a young man who receives a strange creature called a Mogwai as a pet, which then spawns other creatures who transform into small, destructive, evil monsters.
Now, Steve, we asked you to pick a holiday movie. Why Gremlins?
It's funny because I had several.
Sure.
And then, and Gremlins.
I said no to Sex and City 2. Not a Chris, not a holiday film.
If you watch it on a holiday, it's
it
a
becomes
holiday
a holiday film.
And Sex and the City 1 does have a New Year's scene. Maybe even Christmas.
Okay.
I think they really span the year there.
Sure.
It's really all about, you know, winter and
a year in the life.
She has a baby in the spring, rebirth. I chose Gremlins because I've always loved Gremlins, and I've only recently like considered it a Christmas movie because everyone's going, you know, now it's just carte blanche. If Die Hard's a Christmas movie, everything can be a Christmas movie. And Gremlins truly is when I went back to rewatch
Gremlins
it.
Gremlins is explicitly a Christmas movie.
It is more Christmas movie than Die Hard. I'd say it's more of a Christmas movie than It's a Wonderful Life, which I technically don't find to be a Christmas movie.
Huh. I see what you're saying, but there's a clip from It's a Wonderful Life in Gremlins.
That's
so,
true.
Yeah. Okay. So, and that's just, if it's using another movie to add to the Christmas feel, that movie's got to be pretty Christmassy.
Fine. I'm explaining why I picked this movie. You've already showed me that I'm a fucking idiot and I don't know this movie.
We just
that's
mirror
not true.
To you. You showed it yourself.
You're the one who saw it.
Okay, fine. The biggest reason is because Polly Holiday is in it and who was a huge fan of Flo.
Alice.
And
my
grits. She doesn't say it at all in the movie.
No, well, no, that's fair.
Yeah.
It's a subtext, though, a lot of times.
You know a lot. You know everyone asked her.
Yeah.
Jim Varney never said, hey, Vern as Slinky Dog.
That's true. Maybe the outtakes.
Sure.
I've never watched all the deleted scenes. It's a
schlep. Gotta get that Disney Plus.
I know.
I had seen Gremlins multiple times, but this was the first time I'd seen it in maybe 2 years?
Are you so
two
glad years? I picked something so good?
Yeah.
I love Grandmother's. It's great. I do think the second one is better.
I will agree with you.
Yeah.
I will agree.
I've not seen the second one.
Oh, it's even more madcap than the cartoon.
Don't watch it yet because my philosophy.
Okay.
Yeah, well, first of all, we have to talk about it. I think that Gremlins is the perfect Christmas movie, and I think Gremlins 2 is great for New Year's Day.
Okay.
Now, it doesn't take place on New Year's Day. It just feels like a good day to watch.
It's like a fresh start.
Yes.
You're a bit of a movies, a Gremlin sommelier.
Yes.
This pairs nicely.
If you ever want to know where to watch.
There's much rumored a Gremlins 3 coming, but yet to...
I don't know.
There's
Aren't they doing a TV series?
There's an animated show.
Yeah.
That'll be on HBO Max.
But I love, because I remember it's like, I think all the effects hold up. It's funny. It's scary. It is Christmassy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this weird tone of like, the horror is actually horrific and scary.
Right.
But then it's also really funny and cartoony at the same time. It's a real madcap mix. John,
real
what's
mix
your
of genres.
History with Gremlins?
I saw it when it first came out in theaters as a child.
Oh, you were like graduating college at the time?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I was graduating. I was like, I'm treating myself. I've just finished 4 years of this trade school. Now I'm going to go see Gremlins. No, I mean, I loved it as a kid. I also had not seen it in several years, but delightful. I remember the controversy because that and the second Indiana Jones movie, they were both rated PG.
Yes.
And people were complaining that they were much more violent than they thought should be. So it was because of those two movies that the rating PG-13 happened.
I guess especially Indiana Jones is crazy.
Jaws is PG because Jaws was before.
That's true.
Well, should we get into it?
Are we ready to get into it?
As you may or may not know, we are hunting for the gayest movie ever.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think there's some gay in here.
Okay. Oh, I think so. We'll see. I guess we'll see. We have a very elaborate and Byzantine scoring system.
Oh, I've read
which
the description.
We will do. Okay.
Good.
Great. Can't bother to listen to an episode, I guess.
I didn't say that.
But you haven't said you have.
Still not say it.
So, let's get to that score.
So, we have a very crazy, long scoring system. And at the end, you will add a category, which will then become canon. Which we will then use as a prism to judge how gay other movies are.
That's kind of like... in Moana, when you're the chief and you put a stone on top of the stack of stones.
Exactly.
But then Moana put, I forget what. Because they left.
A hair clip?
Maybe she left her purse.
With a sign that said, do not look through this, please. All right. But let's first, let's recap the top five.
Let's do it.
All right. So our fifth, this is a percentage because each week there's a higher number of possible points. So, all right. So number five with 58.97 is Midnight Madness. Any reaction?
What's that about?
It's a scavenger hunt movie. It's terrible. Not good,
is it educational?
No.
It's Michael J. Fox's first movie though.
Oh yeah.
And the I'm a Pepper guy was in it as well.
And it's top. It's the top one.
It was Susie Barrett's, and she came to play.
She did.
And then number four, Adam's Family Values with 61.99%. That kicked off our holidays jubilee. Mm-hmm.
I had to remind myself that this is just gayest movie, not like movie quality, because I would have been like that should be higher.
You are absolutely correct. Number three, 9 to 5, 62.63%. Number two, Meet Me in St. Louis, 66.49%. And our current still reigning champ after how many 20 weeks? The Muppets Take Manhattan with 69.17%. These are D's. These are bads.
Yeah.
These can be beaten. Is Gremlins the one to do it? We shall see.
We shall see.
Yeah. I mean, do I have to like, what if I...
You're going to give a score. John's going to give it.
Okay.
And then it's the average of the
three.
We'll
average them all out. So don't you worry about it.
100.
So you can give. If that's what you want to do.
Done.
We will balance that out.
All right. He's at all hundreds. Well, it's good to have you.
All right. First category, homoeroticism. How homoeroticism is Gremlins on a scale of 0 to 100?
There's that one scene where what's his name takes his shirt off.
Zach Galligan.
I mean, takes
his
shirt off.
He's doing a lot of the heavy.
He's doing all the lifting in this one.
Oh, I mean, he takes his shirt off. You can tell he's been doing the lifting.
But then also, like he leaves it unbuttoned, like an unbuttoned flannel shirt looks great.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to me.
Yeah, I can't think. I feel like maybe I feel there is. What's the word where like like everybody just like fucks and doesn't care, like hedonism.
An orgy?
Like, yeah. No, it starts with a C, like a
Bacchanalia?
Yes, that's it. A C B D.
There are two C's in it.
So yes, that's what it was.
That's what
I feel that like the gremlins, once they get water and food after midnight,
sure.
I feel like it is a 24/7 bacchanalia of. I feel they don't care about.
But they're not. Are gremlins horny?
Yes,
because they have asexual reproduction. They don't like need to like have sex with each other. They just get water on them.
As we know,
yeah, it could just be for fun.
They never hump anybody.
But from Gremlins, well, this is a PG movie.
Why be people explode and are murdered?
I think that there's subtext.
I mean, if you're making a case, I'm just saying, if you're making a case for their horniness, we don't see it on the screen.
Okay, well, I think that they're horny, and so I think they're horny for life in so many ways.
Horny for life,
yeah.
Like, I mean, your one-man show,
erotic way.
Well, we know that there's gender because in Gremlins 2, spoiler alert, John, there's sexy lady gremlin.
There is a lady gremlin in this one too.
There's sex versus gender.
Okay,
you may be like, that's how they identify, but that doesn't mean they are gendered.
I just don't think that they. I think that they're just open to whatever. And
so how homoerotic are you going to get on a scale of 1 to 100?
Oh, like 50.
Okay, great. See, we got like 27 categories.
Oh, are we just supposed to go?
No. You're great.
You're doing great. Yeah, this one doesn't have a lot of homoeroticism to it. I'd say it pretty much starts and ends with Zach. What's his name again?
Galligan?
Well, you can call him Bobby if you want.
Billy? Is that his name? His name's Billy.
Billy.
But you call him Bobby.
That'll confuse
Bobby
no
to
one.
His friend. You know, people like say who've worked with De Niro, they say, well, Bobby, Marty, like, you shut up.
I hate that.
I'll give it a 25.
25. Maybe Zach Galligan's just speaking my language.
Uh-oh.
But he works for me. I'm going to give it a 45.
Okay.
Also, maybe it's been like so many weeks since we've had an actual like shirtless person in a shirtless guy in a movie.
Right.
I'm like, little oh, and he's adorable.
Oasis in a desert. Sure.
Right? Giving it an average of 40 on homoeroticism.
All right.
All right. Okay, next category. Actual gay characters on a scale of 0 to 100. I don't know.
So, yeah, there's not... I mean, do we think the priest is gay? Do we think
Mrs. Deagle, because she lives alone?
Three cats?
She's
more like a spinster.
Yeah.
She does have a husband, although we never see him. We just see a picture of him.
Do they mention him?
They do, yeah.
Oh.
Well, Dolly Parton has, what's his name? Clark? No, what's her husband's name? Carl.
In 9 to 5?
We never see him either.
No,
in real life.
Oh, in real life.
I'm talking about real life.
Oh, what? I mean, some of the gremlins had to be gay.
That's what I was just saying.
Right. But it doesn't mean they were gay, like erotic gay.
Oh.
No. Where were they at Stonewall? That's my question.
Who threw the first brick at Stonewall?
Rewiring
not
the
a gremlin.
Just plain John Denver.
I mean, go back, look at all the photos.
Fuckers.
Mm-hmm. Prove to me that there wasn't a gremlin at Stonewall. Prove to me there wasn't.
They threw the first pie at Stonewall. I don't know if there are any actual gay people in this movie.
No. No, I'd say no.
So what are you going to give it in numbers?
I'm going to have to give it a 0.
A 0.
Sorry, Gremlins. But you know what? If I'm being honest,
please.
It didn't need gay people.
Okay. It had a gay spirit.
It just didn't
need it. Could have made the teacher gay. Could have made a gay couple, the neighbors.
I bet in Gremlins 3,
I see
there'll be a gay couple that gets run over by
Snow Plow. Resort getaway weekend,
yeah.
A white weekend.
I'd love that.
Kind of thing. The lube is replaced with sand.
There we go. Those
glue.
Oh no. John, what are you going to give Gremlins for actual
just because
gay
there's
character?
I think there's got to be some gay gremlins. I'm going to give it a 9.
9. I'll give it a 3.
I
just
bet
for
Stripe is gay.
Why,
yeah,
he's like
that
alpha?
Hair thing.
Because he's evil.
Oh, sure. Because
he's
You've
a villain.
Seen men like him before.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next category. Camp factor. How campy would you say Gremlins is on a scale of 0 to 100?
I'm giving it 100.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of Mrs. Deagle and that performance. This woman takes such glee in telling a young man how she's going to kill his dog.
And enjoy.
Multiple times. She's got water ready to throw on carolers.
Yeah.
Yep. And thank goodness she didn't, because it would have just been more carolers.
Yeah. And then also you have gremlins like wearing little costumes. Like there's a shot of a gremlin wearing a fedora in a bar.
Oh, in Phoebe Kate's bar where they play. This song's called like Mega Madness, Super Badness.
Mega Madness and the Super Badness.
Uh-huh. Gremlins are wild.
Yeah. They break dance.
And then also I feel like there is something campy to like horrific deaths being played for laughs.
And I think all the things that the inventions are sort of campy.
Oh yeah,
definitely.
My Axton.
My favorite part of the movie, maybe my favorite part of all movies, is Phoebe Cates' monologue.
Her monologue
about why she hates Christmas.
Yeah,
and then like it's a really sad story. And then there's like a tiny beat, and she goes, "That's when I found out there was no Santa Claus."
There was apparently a fight to keep that monologue in.
Yeah,
thank God that fight was won
by Joe Dante.
Yeah,
bless his heart.
He's like, "No, we need to have it."
So what are you going to give this for?
100.
100.
Yeah. I'm going to give it 98. Just a little room.
As soon as I gave it 100, I thought about like so many other more campy movies.
And I was
like,
it's all right.
I mean, that's my problem too. Like I would give it 100, but then I think, any John Waters movie.
Sure.
So, but I'll give it a 95.
Okay.
Doing very well.
Do you guys remember A Dirty Shame? I like that.
Of course,
that
I like A Dirty Shame. One.
Yeah,
you know what?
You're part
it's
of the problem.
Heart.
I'm part of the problem. All right, yep.
Just so you know, Steve.
I'm winning?
Gremlins is now our highest number one in camp.
Wow.
With
all right.
97.67.
Oh, no. I feel I'm messing up your
score. You are not messing
up. Not at all.
Don't you worry. There's plenty of things it'll score zero in. Next category, speaking of, makeover montage. Are there makeovers, but they're not done in montage form.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, because there's the transformation where they become evil.
I mean, that's the whole plot, in a way.
There's that.
But in a montage?
I mean,
I feel like part two does, when like Gizmo's getting ready to fight when he turns into Rambo.
Yeah.
But I don't think in this one.
I'm going to give it 10 because the gremlins make over the town with
chaos.
That's
true.
But is that in a montage or the last 30 minutes of the whole movie?
So maybe it's a 30-minute montage.
I mean, that's a scene. That's an act. That's not a montage.
Okay,
I think he's
got a point. No, don't let him bully you.
He bullies people. We're discussing.
Uh-huh.
You say I bully.
I am trying to take a tone.
You are a snowflake. You need people just to say whatever.
Merry Christmas.
People just have to say whatever they want. God forbid there's any pushback.
I knew I should have spent Christmas with my family.
No, they're not giving you anything. We're giving you life.
That's true.
So what are you going to give it?
Well, you're right. That's not technically a montage, so I'm going to give it 5.
Okay.
I'm going to give it 15, just because I think that does sort of work.
What
for
works
me, that works.
The last 30
just
minutes
the fact
of the
that,
movie?
Like, they're making over the town. They are
John's
all a
giving
different,
it a
like,
10 up. And then giving the 5 back to mine.
I see.
Exactly.
I'm giving it a 0.
Okay.
Figured.
All right, next category. Over the top wardrobe on a scale of 0 to 100. Well, I do feel the fact there isn't much except for Mrs. Deagle and the fact that there's all these clothes that fit gremlins.
The gremlins, that whole last third of the movie. Also, Corey Feldman isn't a Christmas tree.
He's wearing a tree.
That's true.
And you really like, you can't understate how good those gremlins are once they're in costumes.
They really
pop at that point.
Yeah. And I'm actually going to keep my, I'm going to back up my 100 on camp because like, no, they never, like, there just happen to be all these gremlin clothes ready and we don't need to have it explained.
They don't show, like,
just
a get on board. Shop.
Yeah. They go like a Babies R Us and just ransack.
Yeah. I mean, we've got that breakdancer in like a sweatband. I'm giving this a.
they had those leg warmers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe a 90. 90 for over the top wardrobe.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 90 as well. I think they definitely
and the guy the very problematic Asian character
Mr.
at the beginning.
Wayne.
Yes, that's very over the top.
Very over the top.
I mean, looking back, it's over the top.
I mean, the character himself is over the top.
Back then, they were probably like, "No, this seems accurate."
Is this over the top wardrobe or problematic wardrobe?
They could be both.
Yeah, I guess one is the they go hand in hand. A clan robe that is both over the top and problematic.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I'll over the top board. I'll give it a 88.
All right.
Quick side note: my first job, the first thing I had to do when I was an intern at Jerry Springer was go pick up clan robes from the dry cleaners.
Wow.
Well, you don't want to mess it. Imagine how shamed you would be to pick up a clan robe with
the creases or blood stains.
There was a pay per view, and the guy who let them borrow his KKK robes made them promise they wouldn't get dirty, and then the person wearing the robes immediately got pushed into a kiddie pool filled with mud.
This is part of the pay-per-view event.
Oops. Yes, it was a pay-per-view. Okay. Yeah.
Were they able to get those stains out?
They were. There was a wedding dress in there too. It was just the wedding dress they used.
What was this event called?
Just Jerry Springer has like had pay-per-view specials that were just like the show, but even crazier.
Crazier.
That's
and
wild.
Uncensored.
Finally.
You can see nipples.
It was really wow. Get down to
a
it.
A rare chance to see nipples.
I know.
All right. Next category. Speaking of, does it hold up on a scale of 0 to 100?
100.
Really? Oh, really? Nothing at all problematic? It's like something we just mentioned?
Oh, to me, it's 100.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no.
That is a little like that character is just pure cringe to me.
Yes,
especially
right.
At one point when he's like at the very beginning when the dad is like, "Let's say you got dragon breath," and then there's a gong.
Okay, yeah. Fine.
I just have, to have a gong.
99. No, you're right. Oh God, that as I was watching that opening scene, I was like, "What?" Can't they change?
We get by real fast. Now it would be. I was thinking, like, how would they update? It would be like a archaeologist or uncovered something,
right?
I am wondering because the HBO Max animated series is about the history of the Mogwai and will be in China, and I'm hoping that maybe they'll. I don't know.
Retcon Mr. Wing?
Yes. or like make a joke that's like, nobody would ever actually dress and act like that, wink, and then we can all watch Gremlins and be like, well, they're aware.
They know what they did. Sure, sure.
So what are you going to give it on? Does it hold up?
Okay, well, let's see.
So there's that problem, but do we think there's anything else that's like problematic?
I don't know. I don't think so. Everything else kind of moves like gangbusters, I think, to me.
And also, I love very much that the mother, the mom, kills so many gremlins.
I do too. Yeah, she really does.
And that was great.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you really
yeah. She has the first real
guy.
Big fight scene.
You know what? I guess I have to give it a 40 because that guy is a
for that
40.
One thing. That's pretty deep.
It's a problem.
Really?
Wow.
And, I'm gonna go.
I just want to seem woke on your podcast.
Well, this is the place to do it.
This is the one to do it.
We're talking about Gremlins.
See, I think that's the only thing that really is an issue. Like if you were remaking it today, that's the only thing that's an issue. So I'm gonna say 85.
85.
Because it also is a very small part of the movie. It's like the beginning and the end. It's not like woven into the whole movie.
Sure. I give it a 75.
Okay.
Because it is, that part is pretty bad. I do think, like, it is so gory. You're like, I do see why they needed PG-13.
Yeah. People die.
And the gremlins die so gruesomely.
Oh, the last strike.
The microwave.
And the Montgomery Ward at the end.
Yeah.
All right, next category, drag queen inspiration on a scale of 0 to 100. Now, I happen to know former guest of the show, Joan Ford, performed...
Just on Friday, just last month.
Last month, performed a Gizmo-inspired drag, so that's got to count for something.
Yeah. I was in that show.
Yeah, I heard.
That's right.
I heard you did great.
My character... Not my character. I am Clayte Banchette.
Okay.
And basically, she's not aware that this is a drag competition... She's not aware that this is drag or a competition. Is
great,
basically how I play.
Okay,
yeah,
that's smart.
Yeah, yeah. Well, given that, thank you, Joan. I'm gonna say 50.
50.
Yeah, because we've seen it in action, John. We know that there's results.
I was gonna say hi. It seemed low to me.
Oh, okay, 70.
70.
70.
Well, because what else could you do besides Gizmo? I mean, there's an inherent like reveal moment you could do.
Sure,
Mrs. Deagle wears a wig.
Yeah, she does.
Because it took me years to realize that was the same
woman.
Well,
because you see her later. Oh, right. Like, who's this new old lady?
Yeah.
But you could be any of the other gremlins who are then in their costumes.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So, you know, that's that as well. That's another thing. I will give it I'll give it a 75.
75.
What did I say?
You said 70?
Yeah, good.
Good.
Can't make you change everything.
I'll give it a 65 just because I... don't think there's a huge variety of looks to get out of this.
Well, Phoebe Cates has got some. Now, Gremlins 2, not even just the female Gremlin, but the tour guide costumes in Gremlins 2.
Those hats.
Yes. I don't know why more people aren't using
John,
that
I have
something.
Gremlins 2 on Blu-ray. I'll
oh,
it
well,
too.
In that case, save it for New Year's Eve. I'm so excited.
All right, next category, caper music on a scale of 0 to 100. Music you would pull off a caper to.
100.
Jerry Goldsmith.
Yeah.
I mean, the opening theme.
Yeah, that's great.
100. I should make that my ringtone, but we don't use those anymore because phones should always be on silent.
Thank you.
Smart.
What if you're expecting a call? And you're
but then have your phone in your pocket so you can feel it.
Sometimes I don't feel it vibrate.
That's well, true. Then that's on you. Get a stronger phone.
A stronger phone?
Yeah.
I need a stronger phone. Yeah. Mine doesn't vibrate hard enough.
My pockets are so thick that my phone doesn't vibrate through.
Sync it up to something. I don't know what to tell you.
A get pain an Alexa. Shaker.
Yeah.
I'll give this one a 98 because I feel like, yeah, that mm-hmm. music is so great.
And
so
Mega iconic. Madness.
And Mega so Madness, yeah. Yeah.
What kind of caper would you pull off to Mega Madness? What would you do?
A weight loss caper? Bar.
Or, yeah. What did you say?
A weight loss caper. It's very like aerobic,
yeah, yeah.
You know
mm-hmm,
what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this music's pretty great. I'll give it a 99,
alrighty.
Which is more than I gave Mission Impossible Fallout. Wow.
Wow.
So this is currently also number one in caper music.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you believe that you're beating the secret of NIMH and caper music?
No. We have to that's wrong. We have to recalculate.
Start over.
Run the numbers again, Mark.
Gotta crunch these.
Control Alt Delete. There's something wrong with your computer.
Okay. Next category. Teamwork on a scale of 0 to 100. Well, the gremlins themselves.
The evil gremlins definitely work together.
Yeah, they fight, but they do. I mean, they have to be working together to accomplish as much mayhem
chaos
as they do.
Sure.
But I don't feel like
Billy and Phoebe Cates.
Phoebe Cates and
what's
Billy,
her character's
yeah.
name?
I want to say, is it Kate?
Maybe.
Is it Kate? Sure.
No, I'm actually thinking of her last name.
Oh, yeah.
I think the bar is called Dory's.
Yeah, yeah.
And that bar is on the Universal lot.
Kate, her name is Kate in the movie.
Oh, I got it.
Right.
Kate Phoebe's.
Kate Phoebe's. FBI.
I mean, they work well together.
I feel like she's kind of sidelined, though. I feel like that, like they're not really doing a lot
she
together.
She turns on all the lights in the department store.
Mm-hmm. It's a Montgomery Ward. Give them their due.
Yeah. Well, they're out of business now.
That's true.
They do kind of all work together at the end, the three of them, Gizmo, Billy, and Kate, but they never like discussed a plan ahead of time.
Yeah, which I guess just shows how good they are at teamwork.
Yeah, because they already have
nonverbal communication.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the Harlem Globetrotters probably don't talk about plays before. That's probably the worst example. That's the first sports team.
I'm sure the Harlem Globetrotters don't talk about plays.
So you're going to do the bucket of confetti when?
Are they still around?
I'm sure
they can't be because we would have gone. Like somebody
maybe.
In our circles would have gone.
I would imagine they're more East Coast.
Okay.
Harlem being in New York City.
Globetrotters.
Exactly.
You are fair. This is okay. Globetrotter erasure. All right, so what are you going to give it for teamwork?
I'm going to give it 90 because I can't really think
90?
Of any non-teamwork moments. I can't think of any people that don't work well together.
I guess.
No.
That's fine.
I don't like the way Mark said 90.
Well, I mean, clearly
you've got to go first.
That's how it works, Steve.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go 90.
The only person who didn't let go first was Olivia, and she's adorable.
Okay. Fine.
Because she got scared at the way she was responded to when she went first.
See?
Ron Howard's Grinch is what she brought in.
Oh, God.
Right?
I would have attacked her with so much hate.
I hate you, Olivia.
She wasn't trying to defend the movie in any way, was she? Okay. Good. Have problems with it.
I think this doesn't have a lot of like there's not a lot of sabotage within the teams themselves.
Sure.
I think the villains all do work well together.
They'll coordinate outfits.
They work together to get that poor dog up in the lights.
Oh, I felt bad for that dog. This is a real dog.
It was a real dog.
What a really smart way to not make us worry about the dog for the whole movie, though, to have it be like, oh, he's got to go away for a little while because Mrs. Deagle's mad.
Well, initially, they killed the dog. There's a bunch of things that were much more violent that they were like, no, we want to make this more of a family film.
Oh.
This is the toned down version.
Yeah.
Wow.
There was rumors that there was an R cut somewhere, but everyone involved in the movie said that's not true.
Oh.
That's probably where they show the gremlins fucking.
That's right. Oh, the orgy.
Is that your Blu-ray, the dead dog cut?
Yeah, that's why they call it the dead dog.
I will give it an 85.
85. I don't think there's a lot. I think the gremlins mostly get by through sheer numbers and happenstance. I'm gonna give it a 65.
Wow.
Though.
Okay.
I think you're underestimating the gremlins.
That's gonna be his fatal
to my
flaw.
Own fatal.
Yeah. The act three of your life. It's really gonna come back on you.
How many times have you? So many. They. Every time I have you
start again.
I'm just thinking about any time like a group of friends makes plans and so many people flake. They filled a theater.
Yeah.
They all showed up.
For Snow White.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that teamwork?
They all sang along.
Yeah, they sang along.
The Seven Dwarves, like, our team, yeah, a great,
like,
team.
There's no no-shows.
I gave,
like,
it a 65.
Went.
I scored it higher than Beetlejuice.
Well, okay. we're just saying things, Mark. We're not bullying you.
I don't care. You can try to convince me all you want. It's not going to work. You will fail, but I welcome it.
That's the
difference between you and I.
You're using Beetlejuice.
You
like
the taste of blood.
Yeah. All right, Steve. Next category. On a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend this to gay people?
100.
So, I mean, one of your dear nephews turns 15, comes out to you.
You're like,
you sit there
for Christmas this year. You're getting the Blu-ray of Gremlins.
And guess what you're gonna get on New Year's?
A Sean Cody subscription.
Come sit down. I have to show you something, and it's Gremlins.
This will make sense.
I was really hoping
later.
For a talk. Gremlins first.
First Gremlins.
If you have any questions after Gremlins.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Figured it out.
So 100?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's so fun. It's holidays are fun and joyful. And so there's snow and holiday lights. Just fucking up around Christmas is always great.
It is sort of like confusing, though. They're like, oh, don't get it wet. And then they're running around in snow.
Yes. Or also in the end, he's climbing that fountain. Like,
and
clearly,
nothing's happening.
Like,
right.
His fingers
getting
are
wet all over.
And if you can't feed it after midnight, when can you start?
When the sun's up,
I guess?
Noon.
It's pretty loose. Mm. But also, it's one of those things. Don't think about it too much.
Yeah,
it's not the point.
I would say that none of that has to do, like, do you think that gay people are more bothered by the semantics of Gremlins?
Are gay people nitpicky? Hell yes.
That's right.
She's wearing what?
I'm just thinking about, like, the description of this podcast. I'm like, okay, yes, yes, true.
Has there been a universal horror maze of Gremlins?
No.
That seems obvious to me.
I was just thinking about that when
I was
watching.
I think it would just be hard because the scale of it.
Yeah.
You don't want them to be person size. You want them to be little.
Yeah, but just have puppets. They have little things, don't they?
Yeah. Well, they have Chucky.
Puppets.
Well, yeah, they do
person,
Chucky.
But,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Chucky's but they've got to be smaller than Chucky.
Well, maybe you shrink.
Use the shrinking ray for their...
Sure.
I don't trust them to pull it off well if they're just doing little puppets.
Sure. Mm-hmm. If it was knots, maybe.
Yeah. Because the good puppeteers, they're over... Yeah, they're over at Henson. They're not...
Yeah.
They're not coming to be
they're
like...
They're working on Dark Crystal.
Yeah.
John, how likely are you to recommend this to gay people?
I'm like, oh, you're gay and you haven't seen Gremlins? I'd actually say pretty high because, like, yeah, there is, like, the Polly Holiday performance can't be, you know, dismissed. The Phoebe Cates monologue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say 85.
85.
Before you commit, I do want to remind you that Gizmo defeats Stripe driving a pink Corvette.
This is true, but I will counter that with, wouldn't you be more likely to recommend Gremlins 2 first?
My score's already in. Sorry, it's already been tabulated.
I would. So I'm gonna give. I'll give this an 87.
Well, wait a minute. Okay. Why would you want to recommend Gremlins 2 to somebody who hasn't seen Gremlins 1?
I don't think you'll be lost. I think you'll be able to grasp.
Oh, agree to disagree.
Not that
agree
dense.
To disagree.
They do a pretty good job of. Takes 5 minutes to explain the plot.
Mm-hmm. I do like that the couple that gets attacked by the snowplow show up in Gremlins 2, and they're like friends with.
Well, they mentioned like they're in the hospital.
Yeah,
like clearly they were killed by a snowplow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next category. You mentioned it earlier. How much felt on a scale of 0 to 100?
How much felt?
Yeah, how much felt is in the movie?
Oh, I'm scoring just the felt?
Yeah.
Felt quantity, not quality?
Either or.
Yeah.
If you feel like there's a plot point of revolving around felt.
Well, I mean, I feel I've been giving a lot of high scores, but like
let's
there's
say,
a lot of... You think about, like... I mean, I feel like Phoebe Cates has a lot of Christmas felt on.
That's
well,
true.
All the decorations,
all the
decorations,
all the Gremlins costumes. I'm going to say 99.
99. What would score higher?
Just room
well,
for
like
improvement.
A Muppet
I
movie
could always
for you.
Use more felt in a Gremlins.
99.
I'm not going to go that high with it. But
where
would
you have put more felt?
Where would I put it?
Was it lacking felt?
Maybe they ransacked a craft store.
Okay.
Sure.
Imagine the fun they could have with sewing scissors.
Oh, if they had googly eyes they could put on themselves.
Okay. Now we're having fun.
Now this is the campiest movie I've ever seen.
Gremlins animated show staffed yet? We're ready.
These bitches are coming hard and fast.
They're not even gremlins in it, though. They're like,
it's all Mogwai. You might have gremlins
like,
in your gremlin
it's called,
show.
Like, Secrets of the Mogwai or something.
No.
I mean, one of their
gremlin.
Secrets must be that they're gremlins.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like they invented it.
What's their secret? They came up with Bitcoin.
Maybe.
I will give this an 80.
80. It's pretty felty. Yeah, I'll give it an 80. That makes sense. This is, this is fourth in terms of felt.
What's beating it?
What's beating it? Scrooged.
Fair.
How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Fair.
And then also Muppets Take Manhattan.
There's felt in that?
A little. Well, as we've all learned, felt is a process.
Not an actual result.
Is Take Manhattan the one where Janice says, "I get the one with the jacuzzi"? That's my
Maybe.
Favorite line.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Cool. All right, next category. We mentioned it earlier, and it's problematic. Facial hair on a scale of 0 to 100.
Yeah, there's not a ton of facial hair.
There's also
hair
the
in this.
Biology teacher.
The biology
nice
teacher.
Mustache.
Okay.
There's the.
How does he die? He has like a syringe in his butt.
Yeah.
His
yeah.
fingers get bit off.
I'm guessing this is another one where there's an R-rated version.
There was, yes. He was supposed to have needles all over his face.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too much.
That's too much.
Mm-hmm.
So there are two mustaches.
Off,
was there like anyone in.
Like the cop, the sheriffs don't. It's not a lot.
That no. priest and that Wings guy who came pretty, up to the.
I feel that. You know, yeah, I feel that these.
But we could also say that the creatures themselves have facial hair.
I don't think you can.
No, I think you can. It's
and
all right.
I think
it's that hair
dog,
on their face.
Well, then why not the dog? Does the dog,
then the dog
have facial,
facial
hair
too? Great.
I think that
you
the shopkeeper and the teacher cancel each other out.
You're saying Barney is your facial hair inspiration?
Mm-hmm.
I just really hate to score this and then remember some facial hair in this movie.
You would kick yourself.
I really would. Mrs. Deagle has three cats, I believe. And
that's
they're
true.
All named after money.
Yeah.
Are they?
Dollar bill, Bitcoin.
Yeah, Bitcoin the cat.
There's not enough Mrs. Deagle in this.
No.
No. Well, 10. 10.
10
for those. 10 for the, well, you know, 50% of the mustache work in this is problematic.
There you go.
Yeah, I'll give it a 35.
35. Don't watch Gremlins for the facial hair.
It's true.
I'm going to give it a 7. Because what there is
on the DVD. Yeah. That's the pull quote. Yes.
Don't watch this for the facial hair.
That's right. Watch it for the fun and the mayhem. All right. Okay. This is going to do very well in this category. Shattered glass on a scale of 0 to 100.
There's a ton of shattered glass in the movie.
In
the bar, they're throwing glasses all over the place.
John
the
Wick 3 was my bar for shattered. This might top it. It is constantly shattered glass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of cars get into accidents. TV screens get
broken
into. Broken
into department stores. Ornaments being destroyed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There was no reverence for glass.
No.
No reverence for glass whatsoever.
And, you know, I bet it was fake glass made of sugar. They call it candy glass.
Oh.
Are you going to take away points for that?
No. No, I'm
it's
not.
It's still a glass.
The no, intent.
Because it was so real.
Sure.
The illusion of glass was shattered.
100. All that glass? 100.
100.
There's definitely more glass shattered in this than Meet Me in St. Louis.
That is true.
We'll see.
I'll give this a 97.
97. Yeah, I'm going to give this I'll give it a 99. It's giving an average of 98.67. Currently number one for shattered glass.
All righty,
Steve. You know
Britney
what's number two?
What's that?
Midnight Madness with 93.33.
Now I will watch.
Meet Me in St. Louis has a 1.33 in shattered glass.
Won't watch
because John assumed something broke at some point. I'm
sure something broke at a party.
All right, next category. The male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male body in this on a scale of 0 to 100?
Horny for the male body?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a very horny for people movie.
No, but what there is, I still have you that. Still? I see that flannel shirt unbuttoned. He looks great.
Mm-hmm.
The camera does love his face.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it 40.
40.
Yeah.
Yeah, 40 sounds good.
I mean, there was no real reason that he needed to, you know, take off his shirt or anything.
I mean,
like
all
that.
The more reason to rate it higher.
That's exactly. What I'm saying. That's why I'm giving it what I'm giving it is because for what it is, it's gratuitous in a family holiday movie. I mean, he's not, you know, he's not showing dick, but
no. No, there's no shaft. That's in the dead dog cut.
Yeah.
Dead Tom Cut, now with more dick. Unearthed from the archives. 75 minutes of dick.
I'm giving it a 50.
All righty.
All right, next
category. I know what to get you for Christmas.
Angry phone hangups on a scale of 0 to 100. I don't think there are any, really. Are there?
What does Mrs. Deagle a couple
Mrs.
times
Deagle,
hangs up?
She does?
She was on the phone at one point. She was like, no.
She's on the phone before the carolers, right?
I think so, yeah. She was on the phone before the carolers.
She's talking to her cat. And then I think she's talking to herself, and she's
mad.
Is that
what you call being on the phone,
yes.
John?
And door slams probably don't count as phone hangouts, right?
I think those are two different things.
But if you're, like, spiritually,
does
the same.
Does snow count as a phone hangout?
But what about those cutaway shots with the dad who's, like, at the convention?
He's always talking to his family.
Right, but are there other people behind them maybe getting mad?
No.
Yeah, I guess 10.
Based on...
There are phones.
Okay. They do get hung up.
They do hung up.
10 in good faith that at some point a phone gets hung up.
But it's not angry.
I think the mom also was like a little exasperated when she like tried to answer the phone with the remote control and then had to pick
it
up.
So you would give angry
and
phone hang up, exasperated
I think she's like
phone
exasperated
pickups.
And then she like hangs up. Yeah, I'm going to give it a 10 as well.
Yeah,
I think I'll give it for
10.
That.
I'm giving it a 0. There are right. No angry phone hangups. Oh,
lump of coal in the stocking for this one.
I'm tough but fair.
Well, you're tough.
Sometimes I feel I need to give it some points because maybe
it's been number one in three categories.
I'm
siding with your brother and sister now.
It's not for rate. It's not to like be the highest scored. It's just I don't want to go home, rewatch it on Christmas Day next
today,
year,
2020,
and be like, oh man, there's such a prominent phone hang up, and
right.
I missed it. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm at.
I think you'll live.
Okay.
So next category, titular theme song on a scale of 0 to 100. I don't think there is.
That song technically on the soundtrack I checked is called.
Yep.
Gremlins theme.
It is called. What's it called? Hold on. It's here somewhere.
It's like Gremlins.
It's called Gremlins Mega Madness.
Yeah.
Oh.
By Michael Cimello.
And because of that, I will give it a 60.
Because they never say the word Gremlins in it, though, right?
Oh, do you have to say Gremlins in it?
I think ideally in titular theme song, like the title is in the name, like in the lyrics.
Yeah, you're right.
Essentially. Mm-hmm.
30 because I love the
theme
song.
But I'm not saying
so
it's zero.
Right. But I'm going to take it down to 30 because it's technically it doesn't have lyrics, but the song is called Gremlins, but it's, I love it.
Is it on Spotify?
Interestingly, if you read the same Wikipedia page as me, the cassette vinyl and CDs had it, but the digital copies of the soundtrack don't have Christmas Baby Please Come Home or Mega Madness Super Badness.
Well, Mega Madness Super Badness is really what we're interested in.
I know.
I can find any version
sure
of
somewhere.
Santa Baby Please Come Home.
Yeah.
John, what are you going to give it for titular theme song?
It's quite a bop, and it does even
Would
though
you say it slaps.
Sure. I'm looking up the lyrics right now to see if they say Gremlin anywhere.
Oh boy.
I don't seem to see. Here we go. So move it to the crooked. Gotta groove it, or you're gonna lose it. So party, party. Gonna tear this place down to the ground.
Gremlin.
This gremlin, 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 gremlin. Yeah, it doesn't seem like it says Gremlin.
Doesn't seem like it.
But it is still in the title of the track.
Why don't you do like an Alt-F Gremlins?
Okay, I'll do that. Here we go.
Not Gremlins related, but gay-centric. Hmm. Roxette originally was going to have a single be the lead on the soundtrack to Hocus Pocus.
Wow. If only we lived in that reality.
I know. So.
If only.
John, what are you going to give it?
I will give it a 50.
50.
It's such a good song.
Mm-hmm.
I put it on my workout playlist.
There you go.
I'll
get you
repeat
going.
Just that.
I'm giving it a 30. I'm right there with you, Steve. All right. Next category, entrances with pizzazz. On a scale,
well, there's
zero
a bunch on this one.
I mean, the actual gremlins themselves. That swimming pool.
Mrs. Deagle walking into the bank holding a snowman head.
Yeah. More shattered glass when that thing shatters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they earned
all
that.
The gremlins themselves.
The gremlins
pop
themselves.
Out.
Mm-hmm. When that guy comes appears at the end, he just like, she turns around, there he is.
Yep.
A little pizzazz.
A lot of pizzazz.
Yeah.
Lots of pizzazz.
I do have to... Let's see. There's a lot of entrances with
pizzazz. Don't you think, like, if I did like a learning annex course or a YouTube instructional video called Entrances with Pizzazz and I was pizzazz and taught you how to do entrances?
I'd take that class.
I bet I'd get like 25 people watching it.
I think it'd be, just to bring you into the new millennium, today it'd be Skillshare, not learning annex.
Oh, or a masterclass.
Yeah.
Like Aaron Sorkin teaches you about dialogue.
Yeah. Mark Rennie teaches you entering. Pizzazz teaches you entering.
Thank you.
They know that Mark Rennie's pizzazz.
He ruined it.
That's the illusion is shattered like a glass.
That should have been an American Gladiator.
I'm going to give it 80. I would have given it 85, but I have to take away 5 because Kate's father did not enter with pizzazz.
He entered the afterlife.
Yeah, that's true.
Fair.
Showing up in a Santa suit with a broken neck.
Mm-hmm. Where did he get stuck?
In the chimney.
In the chimney.
But they said he fell. Like, how did he not fall down the chimney then?
I don't know.
I think he was trying to go down and fell and broke his
head
neck.
Head first?
Maybe. But they couldn't find him in there. They thought that
initially.
They thought that the firemen were going to pull. Right, but then there was a smell, and they thought they'd pull out. She went to the fireplace to light a fire, and there was no body there.
Right.
So there's a body in the chimney.
Yeah.
So he fell, broke his neck, and got stuck in there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So
I always imagined he was
big.
In the chimney when it, like, he was crawling down and then broke his neck.
Okay.
But I don't, I don't think a chimney's that big.
No. Like six
I wonder if that monologue was any darker.
That should have been the cold open.
I agree. It sets the tone.
Yeah. Like, what is this mystery?
John, what are you going to give it?
I am also going to give it an 80.
80. You know what? I'll give it an 80 as well.
Alrighty. I mean, Mrs. Deagle is really saving this movie. The gremlins are pulling their weight.
But she's leading the charge.
She's the main alpha gremlin, in a way.
The true gremlin.
The greatest gremlin of all is the human.
I think there's a version of this story where Mrs. Deagle's the hero.
Because the wicked of gremlins.
Yeah. we're going to write that, Mark.
All right. We've done it before. All right. Next category. Non-traditional murder weapons on a scale of 0 to 100.
There's a bunch in this one.
You have a chair lift.
You got the microwave.
Orange juice maker. A snowplow. Well, they aren't murdered. They don't die.
That's true.
Well, they're used as a murder weapon.
Yeah. It was very implied.
Yeah, used as a weapon.
They're trying to murder them.
What else? You could also say that some of the dad's inventions, like he had that thing with the fly swatter that like spun out.
But that's not used to kill anybody.
But it would be used to kill a fly.
Okay.
Right, they're murdering flies with that. It's unconventional.
Sure.
There's something there.
Sure.
Man, you really
not as good as that.
You
chair
really are
the fleeing Mrs.
I agree, but I'm just, you know, putting a little more kindling on the fire.
Such a great dynamic, a real yin to each other's yang. Mark wants to give everything no points, and you want everything to be number one.
Mm-hmm. You've cracked it.
Welcome to our podcast.
That's our game.
I forget what we're
ranking. Non-traditional
murder weapons.
Oh.
Sunlight itself.
Sunlight itself is one.
Okay. 80.
I mean, what would get more?
I don't know. I just feel I've given a lot of hundreds.
It's okay.
Okay.
We don't charge you for them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, then 90.
90?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think you're wrong.
Yeah, I'm going to go 94.
94. You gave Sleepaway Camp 100.
Well.
I think this has more than Sleepaway Camp.
All right.
So Sleepaway
Camp
100.
Has a toilet.
All right. That's true.
No one's murdered by the toilet.
I know, they're murdered in a toilet. Isn't that the one where he gets like shoved down in the toilet? That might be a Sleepaway Camp sequel.
Maybe.
Somebody gets shoved into a toilet somebody gets like shoved down into an outhouse in one of those.
Wow.
That was Schindler's List, Steve.
Oh.
All right. Next category, breath acting on a scale of 0 to 100.
Breath acting?
Breath acting.
Mm-hmm. Huffing,
sure.
Puffing.
Anything breath is used to act.
You're using your breath
emotion.
In a different way than you would normally.
Well, I mean, I'm going to...
Screaming?
I'm going to say, based on, again, Polly Holiday's performance as Mrs. Deagle and all that huffing and puffing, I'm giving it a 50. All she does is huff and puff.
Gizmo himself. Is he a breath actor? He's kind of... Meow, 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 meow.
Yeah.
I guess it's not breath acting. No,
it's Howie Mandel
making weird stuff. Yeah.
Do the gremlins, the evil ones, they hiss a lot. It's hissing.
I'm very confused by breath acting.
Well, talk to Mono Agapian. This was his category. You know where to
it's
find
it. It's been a somewhat controversial one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I would have added, for Scream, I would have said, pausing weird places in sentences. Is your brain leaking? No, I'm giving it 50. That seems fair.
50.
There's a lot of screaming in this.
Is screaming breathing?
Yes, it involves exhaling.
But is that all dialogue then too?
No.
Breath? Why, how is that different?
Like, to me, it's just like if you're using your breath in a notably different way than you would from just talking.
Isn't that just your voice?
If it's different just your voice, I'm saying.
Dialogue is breath acting. Right? Should have 100 for breath acting.
Except for silent movies. I'll give it a 60.
The artist.
60?
Yeah.
I'll give it a 55.
All right.
So I do think there's a lot of hissing, like.
Yeah.
I feel like that's breath acting. I just spit all over this
microphone.
That's
true. I bet a lot of cats do that.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Deagle's cats probably do it after she dies.
Dollar bill.
They're probably thrilled. She really gets flown from that.
She does.
Such a great
and her stiff legs. Like,
that's so funny.
That's such a good like visual reference to like the Wicked Witch with those feet like that.
Oh, so fun. All right. Next.
She's dead, right?
Polly Holiday.
Yeah, she must.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's a not so jolly holiday.
Listener, if ever there was a plug I could give your listeners that I'd appreciate, Logo plays reruns of 80s sitcoms like Alice and It's a Living and Facts of Life like every night from like 11 to 9 a.m. So put it on. It's amazing.
Polly Holiday is still alive.
Thank you.
Polly, I'm so sorry.
She's our first listener.
Always first to download, especially at Christmas.
She'll text us at 1201. Got it, boys. Can't wait to listen.
I promised myself I'd stop ruining Polly's holidays.
Not this year.
All right, next category, Steve. I think another one you might do very well in. Mm-hmm. Mannequins on a scale of 0 to 100.
There's
quite a few
mannequins.
As many as Tourist Trap.
I mean, probably not, but still.
There are a lot of mannequins in
there. There's a lot of mannequins in the store.
That's about it,
I'm trying to think if there's any, like... I mean, Mark's gonna get mad if I even suggest it, but like a skeleton in the science room, but
that's
I'm not sure if there is. I know,
that's
and I'm not
skeleton.
Sure if there,
like
a, I'm not
you
sure
can
there
give
is
it some
one.
Point for that, though,
that's
if you want
true.
To. It doesn't have to be black and white. Well, that's okay.
Yeah,
for your
it could
score,
be giving
you
mannequin vibes. If he put a fun hat on it, I,
a
for
snowman
Christmas,
is sort of like a mannequin.
That's true.
That
hat for the snowman. Yeah.
I'm using this argument during to display the latest fashion lines.
Yeah, this scarf, this carrot.
What a shape everyone wants to emulate.
I mean, I think... There's not. I don't think there's that many mannequins.
I don't think so either.
There's not a ton,
like,
but there are mannequins.
Four.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say 30.
30.
It's definitely not like a movie for like. I'd never
it's
recommend
like
it to
mannequin.
Someone due to their love of mannequins. It's definitely not mannequin.
I'll give it 35.
35. I'll give it 25.
Right.
There are mannequins. All right, next category, dramatic lighting.
There's a ton of dramatic lighting in this one.
They knew what
great
they were doing
lighting.
In the 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
This is an Amblin production.
Yeah.
So many fun colors. Like
when he jumps in the pool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so much like people getting highlighted by red or green. Mm-hmm.
Just like
Christmas
lights.
Yeah, just the Christmas lights in general.
When Phoebe Cates is giving her monologue, there's a shot where she is like, there's a stripe of white light going across. It looks great.
Problematic, but Chinatown is lit really.
Yeah,
thank
it's very
you.
Provocatively.
Yes. Exotic, would you say?
Truly. That's also the universal lot. Some of it.
Thank you.
What was the question?
Dramatic
again?
Lighting.
Dramatic lighting.
I'm going to say 90.
90.
Yeah, I'm going to go 90 as well. I think
it
does.
When the mom goes in the living room and it's dark and she's by the Christmas tree, that's dramatic.
That's dramatic.
Mrs. Deagle's
house
is dark.
Part of it, I think, like the thing of like they don't like light, they said, was a choice made because this was there's nothing CGI in this movie.
What?
So everything is sort of like practical, you know? And so like, oh, if we make it dark, that can hide some of the
smart.
They have to be in darkness. That'll hide some of the wires and whatnot.
If you turn the brightness up on your TV, you can see the full bodies of all the puppeteers are there.
Sure. That's why I don't do that.
Don't do that.
I actually watch it. I just listen to it.
It's a radio
anything. Play for you.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it I'll give it a 90 as well.
Alrighty.
Finally.
You. What I give it 100 for something else. I don't remember what.
Gremlins?
Yeah.
Maybe a
gremlin. All right. Next category, Steve. Strident women on a scale of 0 to 100.
99. No, 100 because
the mom
Phoebe.
You think the mom is strident?
She kills three gremlins in the kitchen, John.
I'd say she's empowered.
You want to know what the mom does when she
tell me
if this is strident. You're making Christmas cookies,
okay,
as one does.
Sure.
And you hear something go chaos going on upstairs.
Right. Mm. Do I grab a butcher's knife?
Right. That she happens to be using for the cookies.
I don't know why she's right. using that knife. For she's that strike.
Yep. Because she knows there's something up with those little mm-hmm. little things that
she doesn't hesitate.
She grabs the knife. That's strident. Everything okay. Mrs. Deagle does is strident.
Oh, well, of course. I mean, she's the definition.
Yeah.
But Phoebe Cage, you think she's strident?
No, but I'm not gonna let
she's
that.
She's not a pussy
I'm not
willow.
Saying we should penalize anyone yeah. because of Phoebe Cage.
She's definitely not strident. No,
but I wouldn't describe her as such. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, she kind of is gone for most of the movie, and then we get to the bar, and it's like there she is. Also, right. How old are they? She's a bartender.
Well, they're college.
They established that earlier.
That's true. He works at a bank.
And also, Judge Reinhold disappears.
Yeah,
he definitely disappears.
There was a deleted scene, I guess, where he's supposed to be trapped in the bank, going insane.
Oh,
the dead dog cut. John, what are you giving this for strident women?
I'm going to give it a 95.
Wow. 95. What did I say, 99?
You said 100.
You said 100.
Okay, yeah. No, you know what, 99, because Phoebe could have been more strident.
No. That's penalizing.
She could have been more strident.
I think you should stay at 100.
No, maybe if she would have been more forthcoming about why she hated Christmas earlier on.
Oh, you wanted that in the second
more
act.
More of a Scrooge element.
I wanted it right away.
More okay. of a law humbug.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to give this a 90-90.
A 90-90?
A 90. Steve, you are, for strident women, Gremlins is number 2.
Behind?
Adam's Family Values.
Oh, yeah. If you said I beat Adam's Family Values, I would have taken points away to make sure we didn't.
Fair.
Nobody should ever beat Debbie Jelinski.
Thank you. Exactly. And no one can.
No.
Next category, fun fonts.
Fun fonts?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a bunch.
The opening title itself.
The opening title. There's all that stuff in Chinatown.
Okay.
That's just how those look.
John.
They did it in a fun way. That's just Chinese letters.
But, well, anything in a neon sign.
That's true. All the neon signs. True. The stuff
you
on
you
want to
liven up Helvetica? You make it neon.
Mm. Yeah. The marquee in the movie theaters.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling it. What was the question again?
Fun fonts.
His business card.
Yeah, no, because I'm not really watching I'm not watching this for marquees and business cards. And
okay.
So, like, when you say fun fonts, I really can't think of anything.
Can you think of any movie that has fun? Have you ever seen a fun font?
Yeah, there's a documentary called Helvetica.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's maybe the least
fun font.
It's
depressing.
I should have done that. Yeah. I'm going to give it a 15 because I
15.
Agree with you guys that there are fun fonts. I don't think that they really...
We're not awash in them.
Exactly. They're not elevating the movie.
Sure.
If somebody was like, what fonts are there in... Like, you have to think about
it's
them.
No Adam's
like, if someone
values.
Used that font right. in another thing, yeah. you'd be like, oh, they're doing Gremlins.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
15 for the font of just the word Gremlins
right.
alone.
Sure.
I love when, I may have mentioned this, but I love when the movie's font matches the poster.
Yes, me
so
too.
So often it doesn't.
Oh, different.
We already.
It really takes me out of the world.
Well, it's just
when
like,
they're different.
Adam's Family, case in point, although they do have a good title, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That one where I can only think of ones where they do match, like Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Sure.
John, what are you going to give?
I'll give it a. 45.
I'll give it a 30. Giving it an average of 30.
Alrighty.
Alright, next category. Cheerworthy cameos on a scale of 0 to 100. Well, John rated the IMDb page, I'm guessing. And what do you got in your chamber?
There are a bunch of cameos
yes.
in this one.
There's
we've got
executive producer himself, Steven Spielberg.
Steven Spielberg. Mm-hmm. We've got, who else? Jerry Goldsmith is in it.
Oh, I cheered when I saw Jerry Goldsmith. There's the time machine from H.G. Wells' Time Machine.
There's that one. I would even argue, even though it's not a person, that chairlift that throws her out, that's sort of like a cameo that you're like, oh, that thing.
What?
Yeah, I think
but
so.
But it's in the movie.
Right.
But what else was it in?
I mean, it's just like of the time. Like, yeah. Oh, right, one of those chairs. And it just makes you
John's
laugh.
I think John's definition of a cameo is when something shows up.
Yeah. Something
Didn't
appeared
one
on film.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I don't. I wouldn't even really say I'd cheer for a Steven Spielberg cameo. Was this after the Twilight Zone movie?
I think so.
Then
yes.
I would absolutely not cheer for a Steven
well,
Spielberg
that's
cameo.
That's not John Landis.
I know, but Steven
it's
Spielberg
John Landis
was
is the
a
one
producer.
At fault.
Yes, but Steven Spielberg was a producer on that movie. Famously distanced himself, wouldn't comment
sure.
on it, and I think knew more.
So if this was a boo-worthy cameo.
Yes.
You'd rate it higher.
No, I like Steven Spielberg just fine.
You could
fine.
Cheer in a negative way.
His sure. daughter said I was the funniest part of a show she saw once.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So,
there you go.
I give this 100. no, I'm going to, no, I didn't really cheer for any cameos. So I'm going to say, No, Polly Holiday.
That's not a cameo.
She's not a cameo, unfortunately. Okay, fine. 15 for her hat.
15 for the fabled hat, which I would say that's not a cameo, because the Lady Gremlin wears it later.
That's true.
It's a callback to a cameo?
It's a callback.
I'll give it a 30.
30. Yeah, I'll give it a 27.
Okay.
Okay, next category. Memorial moments.
That whole monologue.
That whole Phoebe Cates monologue is a memorial moment.
Iconic.
Yeah.
Like, just like... When you say memorial moment, just
it's
moments
like when we
that
take
stick
a moment to
you?
Think back about those we've lost.
Oh,
what
okay.
once was.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's that.
I mean, you could say that one guy who's always like, oh, World War II, that guy, he sort of is always like in a very aggressive,
PTSD.
Negative way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mrs. Deagle complains that she's always been like, she told the carolers before, like she's remembering having to tell the carolers to say
that's a memorial moment.
She's memorializing last time she yelled at the carolers.
It's true.
What does she say about her husband? Is he dead or just not around?
They mention him. Do they? I don't know.
They do sort of mention him, but they don't say where.
You
there's like
what?
A picture of him.
I've got a... I'm 90 for the monologue.
Iconic.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to give it... I'm going to give it a 93.
They mock it in the sequel,
fun.
Which
they
I love.
They have fun with it.
Oh, okay.
It's not like this new Ghostbusters that's coming out that's so precious with the new one.
Ugh.
I'm sorry, I watched the trailer. I'm 4 weeks late. Anyway, what was I saying? Memorial moment. I'll give it a 90. Steve!
What?
When it comes to memorial moments, Gremlins is number one.
It should be
with
that.
With a 91.
Yeah,
that is a, yeah.
You know what's number two? Adam's Family Values.
Which one? Oh, Malibu Barbie. Yeah.
Well, okay. They actually have a scene in a graveyard.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, next category. A feels song. Are we going to say Mega Mix Madness is
a song that makes you feel?
Yeah, a song that puts you in your feels.
Oh, 90. It starts with Darlene Love, Christmas
That's
Baby
right.
Please Come Home, which is my favorite Christmas song.
Is it?
Yeah. So, like, you guys can score low. That's fine.
Say a word.
But
there are a couple
other,
like, sort of, like, sweet Christmas song moments in it, too.
Like what?
Like, there's definitely one, like, when they're trashing the town. Not that part, but, like, they're when it's, like,
yeah,
a arrest
one,
from...
I ask him one follow-up. He completely crumbles.
And then I go, hold on. Someone's at the door.
You had it with Darlene Love. Quit while you're ahead. I think
because
just that opening.
Also that opening, it's very feels, and
it's pure nostalgia.
Yes, yeah. And there's a lot of really. I mean, I don't know if it feels in the same way, but there's a lot of fun. Like, I always love the juxtaposition of like, oh, it's Christmas and Christmas music, but you know, someone's getting murdered, and
then
on the radio is like, oh, come all ye. Like,
that's
I'm sucker
beautiful,
for that.
Steve.
Yeah.
I'm sucker
so, what are you going to give this number score wise on 0 to 100?
I'll give it 80.
80.
I'll go 75.
75. I'm going to give it a 50.
Darlene Love, Mark.
50.
She sang it on Letterman every year, except for the writer's strike year.
She
said she'd never sing it live again when he went off the air.
Great. Next category.
That didn't change your mind?
No.
Okay.
Nope. Macabre? How macabre is this Gremlins?
I mean, it's pretty high.
It's
pretty
macabre.
That
monologue
is
a lot of death.
Yeah.
A lot of murder.
Again, the monologue.
It's like, would you say it's macabre to be have a gleeful reaction to death?
Yes.
Like when
to be cheering it?
Yeah. I would say that's pretty macabre, right?
Yeah, because there's also a lot of humans. It's not just the gremlins. There's a lot of humans. You're like,
right.
Yeah, good.
Mrs. Deagle wants to murder a dog.
Yeah.
And she gleefully.
And then she gets flung out of a window to her death.
Yep.
And that's fun.
And of course, the chimney monologue again. I really do think that Phoebe Cates and Mrs. Deagle are carrying the scores on this. Yeah. Uh-huh. Much more than the Gremlins.
Sure.
Get with it, Gremlins. Darlene Love scored more points.
If anything, they're truly sabotaging their score.
Which is exactly what you'd expect from Gremlins.
I'd expect nothing less. So what are you going to give this for Macabre?
Macabre? 90.
90!
Yeah, I also got to go 90.
Murder Christmas. She's going to throw... Was the water hot that she was going to throw?
We never found out.
I think it would be cold. Wouldn't that be worse?
I mean, nothing's worse than
like
boiling water.
Yeah,
boiling water could burn your skin.
Cold outside.
True.
Yeah.
So I gave it a 90 as well.
All righty. 90s across the board.
All right. Next category. Vibrato. How much vibrato is used in this movie?
So vibrato, as it was described,
it's a double meaning.
There's both the literal meaning of vibrato,
you know, like, singing, but done well. And then there's also like what someone.
I didn't warm up. Give me a second. Okay, I'm warmed up.
Go on.
Oh, my throat's dry.
Oh, I'm sorry. And then also just like an extra zhuzh on a performance.
Oh, God. Again,
Miss Molly Holiday.
Yeah.
And I would say the gremlin, like Gizmo singing.
That's right.
Yeah, vibrato, so sweet. Right?
Yeah, Gizmo sings. Mrs. Deagle. Anyone else have vibrato?
I don't think so.
Spike has Stripe. Stripe has vibrato.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say 75.
75.
I would have liked a little more vibrato from Billy and Kate.
Sure.
I think also the science teacher has a very like a. He's very, like, commanding in his voice. He's like, I will keep it here for experiment. Like, it's very, like, almost like he's auditioning for The Lion King.
Yeah.
For what part?
To narrate? The James Earl Jones?
Mufasa narrates The Lion King. I still could be in the rest of the story.
He narrated the new
next?
One.
He did?
Maybe not.
Did you see it?
No.
Nobody did. I mean, it was the number one
Hakuna Matata. $1 billion. Yeah.
I heard Hakuna Matata and Seth Rogen cannot sing.
Well, no.
But it's like...
He's no Ernie Sabella.
It sounds bad.
Yeah.
It's not like he's top
prepared?
Singing.
They took all the fun out of it.
I wasn't prepared.
The whole movie.
Yeah. What are you going to give this for? Vibrato.
I will give it an 80.
80. Yeah, I'll give it an 82. How about that?
80 as well or 82?
82.
All right.
I mean, there's a lot of choices. And one thing I know about things that I love is there's always things where they made big choices.
Sure.
You like a big swing.
A big swing.
Love a big swing. Mm-hmm. Love a big swinger.
That's why I'm excited for Cats.
Yes.
It's a big crazy swing.
Thank you.
Comes out today.
We already saw it and yeah. We love this.
I agree.
Beautiful Ghosts, top song of the year.
I'm going to get married to that song.
Again?
Again.
Does your husband know?
All right. He'll be fine.
Next category, wigs. On a scale of 0 to 100.
I mean, again, Mrs. Deagle.
And then it shows up on a gremlin later.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when you put Mrs. Deagle's wig on a gremlin.
You're having fun.
You're asking for points.
You're pretty gay.
Yeah.
A gremlin wearing a wig? That's pretty gay.
That's pretty gay.
Now I'm trying, like, the thing is, I have such love for Adam's Family Values. I'm trying to think if Debbie was has a wig.
That
category did not exist at that point.
Okay.
So
you're in the
clear from here on out.
You're up against How the Grinch Stole Christmas and Scrooge.
Okay.
For
and
wigs.
The thing is, like, I can't give such a high score for one great wig.
Right.
But like, I can't give such
Grinch
a low score for
a
one.
Total 95.
Yeah. I mean, I think I have to go 50 because
50.
It's just right in the middle because it's such a great
it's
wig.
Average. Yeah. An average amount of wigs.
It's below average, yeah. Actually.
50?
Well, I mean, like, it's. I guess it's saying below C.
Yeah.
I was thinking C is average.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 65.
65. I'm going to give it a 50.
All right.
Wow. Gremlins,
I mean,
is
one more gremlin would have put on a wig
for wigs. All right, next category, and this is our last one before yours.
Okay.
All right, next category, themes of mothers. Scale of 0 to 100. Well, there's like parenting. It's like asexual reproduction.
There's a little bit of parenting.
I wish it was fathers because
I know,
then Phoebe
but that's
could...
less gay.
Yeah.
You know what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, it is weird. There doesn't seem to be like any sense of Gizmo being a parent to the other gremlins.
No.
He feels very like separate from them and not part of their group.
Right.
So it doesn't. So like, there's no parenting
it's like a
there.
Wasp sending their kids off to military school.
I mean,
very ordinary people. Gizmo.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the mom
is protective. Has a great scene.
She's good.
Yeah,
she's
a great scene with a mother killing a bunch of gremlins in her kitchen, no less.
Uh-huh.
After they ate her cookies.
Mm-hmm.
She worked
and
hard on that gingerbread.
She's very supportive as a... Well, that's as a wife.
As a wife.
This is about wives.
Yeesh. Problematic.
Yeah.
So what are you going to give this for themes of mothers for gremlins?
I mean, I'm going to give it 20 because she protects her home and her family by killing those gremlins.
Wow, that's only worth 20 to you? Wow, interesting. Okay. John, what
yeah,
are you going
to
give
I'm just going to add to that just Polly Holiday being a mother to those cats. So
what a great mother
she is. 23. Okay.
23. I'm going to give it a 30. Just for that kitchen fight.
Okay.
All right, Steve. Now it's your turn to add a category.
Back boils.
So you're saying the more back boils, the more they have
the boils on their back.
The
no. No.
Hmm.
Okay, so it was Memorial Moments was one already?
It was one, yeah, yes. Yeah. We've done that one.
You gave a score for
old,
it.
Cranky Old Bitches.
Yeah, how is that different from strident women?
Oh, yeah, strident women. Wow, if you're strident, you're a cranky old bitch?
Well,
wow.
Are you not a cranky old bitch if you're strident?
Okay.
Don't worry.
We can edit it. That monotake.
Yeah. I think he had heard some episodes before he came.
He so
had
he's a little prepared.
Okay. I feel like I gadgetry. Like the dad's gadgets.
Okay.
There's not really anything for that, but there's something about like the dad's gadgets to me that's very kind of.
And do you think the more gadgets there are, the gayer a movie is? So James Bond, there's nothing gayer than a James Bond. In some ways, yeah, maybe there isn't.
Yeah, that I'd might not be James, wrong. Yeah. What is it about the gadgets that you like? Is it that like he's like trying to like make the future better? Is it that he's curious about the world?
No. Okay, fine. pool trouble.
Love it.
Trouble in a pool.
I like trouble pool trouble. I think
pool trouble. Okay. Yeah.
See, I just needed a second to get there.
Sure, you got
that was like 3 minutes.
Well, here's the thing. I want you to know that I
will edit this out.
You edit it out for sure.
We'll edit out some time. You'll email Alex.
I came in prepared.
I wrote down the time. We're good.
I came in prepared.
You did for something else.
For back boils.
Oh. For back boils. Okay.
And then immediately realized that I was barking up the wrong truth. Back boils.
That was
so.
Yeah.
That's why it took me a moment. Is because I came in thinking back boils was going to be.
You
it.
Think there's anything more. Homo, fair enough. Homo than back boil.
Well, then I realized that no, it doesn't. It's not. It, I did. Mm-hmm. I didn't do the assignment.
A bareback boil, maybe.
Oh, there we go.
That's when you have sex in a sauna.
Yeah, pool trouble.
So, what are you going to give this in pool trouble? Which sounds like a Roger Rabbit cartoon.
Yeah.
What are you going to give
Baby
this?
Herman in pool trouble?
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a 90 because that 90. Pool causes. Without that pool trouble, the movie would have ended.
It's the second act turn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no third act without that pool. Yeah, I'll give it a 95.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to think of pool causing more trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Except for that Final Destination movie where the kid's butt gets ripped out.
Oh, yeah.
I'll give it a 95. Wow, number one for pool trouble.
You did it.
All right, now we are into the bonus points category.
Oh,
okay.
These are more John.
It's sort of like more binary. Like it's yes or no. Okay. We all sort of just agree on it together.
Okay. So straight actors playing gay roles, negative 5% for each instance.
That doesn't really happen
that
in
doesn't
this
happen.
Movie.
No. Okay.
So no, it does not get rewarded any bonus points.
And then plus 15% for positive portrayal of homosexuality.
Oh.
This doesn't
really
happen.
Portray no. homosexuality,
doesn't
so does not
it.
Get those bonus points.
And then finally, negative 50% if this is the movie Cruising.
This is not the movie Cruising, so it is not penalized 50% of its points.
Okay, so at the final, so out of the total possible.
When you said Cruising, I thought of the movie Duets where Gwyneth Paltrow sings Cruising with Huey Lewis.
You're not the first. Nicole Thurman thought that
that's
as
right.
well.
That's true.
For Beetlejuice, you're not the first.
You're not the first.
All right, so out of a total possible 1,740. Oh, wait, no.
No, that's not right.
That's backward. Out of a total possible 3,100 points, you
oh,
have
yeah.
scored 1,742.33, giving you a percentage of 56.20, making you the sixth gayest movie
oh,
ever.
I'll
not
take
as
that.
Gay as Midnight Madness, but gayer than Beetlejuice.
That was the pull quote on the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Gayer than Beetlejuice.
Wow.
Oh,
that seems
right.
I thought it might have scored higher.
I thought it might make the top five, but I mean, it just underneath it.
You're yeah. just, you're, it was in the mix.
I think that's where Gremlins will always be in terms of like people's thought of it. Is it will always
just
be like
under top
it'll
five.
Always, yeah, it'll always be like they love it, but they didn't think about it.
I bet Gremlins 2 would score higher.
For sure.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Not a Christmas movie. And as you know, today is our Lord and Savior's birth.
Thank yes. you. He is risen. Oh, no, that's Easter.
That's Easter.
He is slidden out of her vagina.
Okay. Okay. We just lost a whole lot of downloads.
If they got this far, they've already downloaded. Well, thank you so much for being here, Steve.
Thank you for having me.
Is there anything you'd like to plug, promote, chill for at this moment?
My podcast, Why Do You Know That? And Christmas. I'd love to
thank you.
Celebrate yeah. Christmas today. Everybody. Yeah.
That's it.
Great. We'll be right back.
We're back. Oh, that was fun.
That was fun. Steve's it's always fun. I go way back with Steve.
That's true. So how long were you guys roommates for?
A year.
A whole year.
And he and I did write a parody of Wicked based oh, right. on Ursula from mm-hmm. Little Mermaid.
Yes, I saw that.
Thank
I remember
you.
That. It was very
neither
nice.
Of us had ever seen Wicked.
Perfect team it was to tackle the project.
It was absolutely. A lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what we said earlier, I was surprised. While watching Gremlins, I was like, oh, I think this might... I thought it was right. going to crack the top five.
I think it just wasn't quite horny enough.
Yeah, that's tough.
And just a few other like facial hair and other things mm-hmm. didn't do well enough.
Yeah, that's true.
But... we'll see. That we'll was see. Our last Christmas.
Our last Christmas, but we have a New Year's Eve movie next week.
Yes.
Do you want to say it now?
Sure.
Why not? All right, we're going to have When Harry Met Sally.
So
watch that.
Watch it. Be up to date.
Get ready. You want to be part of the conversation.
Thank
part
you.
Of the discussion.
Speaking of the conversation,
we got an email. Yes, a wonderful email from Brandon Wendt. I believe I'm pronouncing that correct. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name. But Brandon Wright says, hello. Absolutely love Two Old Queens as I just discovered it recently and I'm working my way through past episodes. I'm a college recruiter and spend a lot of time in the car driving to school. Schools, and this really helps set the tone for the level of gayness I bring to my visits.
Wonderful.
I've also recommended left and right to anyone who listened to me, going so far as inviting a friend over to watch The Secret of Nim, a personal favorite, and then sending him out into the world armed to listen to the episode because he's also a big Happy Endings fan and likes Stephen Guarino.
Nice.
Isn't that nice? We're bringing people together. Anyway, I've been very curious about how your guests choose the movies that you review. Is it truly a free-for-all? They pick whatever they want arrangement, or are they coached on options to pick from?
Oh.
I get that you can't blow your load with iconic gay movies at the
Excuse
front
me?
End of the podcast life, or you lose the intrigue. And he says, when will they get to Devil Wears Prada? Rocky Horror? Is Love, Simon too new? Then he says, that said, I've been thinking of titles I'd love to see before the podcasting medium dies off, as I'll be a loyal listener until then. And then he lists a couple movies he wants to see, but we can skip that in case we do get to them.
I mean, that still exists.
That's true. It's Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion, Drag Queen Inspiration, highly recommended to gay people. The Rankin and Bass, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Sure.
So much felt.
Yes.
You can't tell me Hermie is not an actual gay character.
Fair.
I would not argue that. Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Great.
High Camp, Drag Queen Inspiration, Strident Women, The Brady Bunch movie, and or yes. Barry Brady sequel. Troop Beverly Hills. And then he says, I guess I have a Shelley Long thing happening here.
Okay.
And finally, Stepford Wives 2004, positive portrayal of gay people, kind of, at least one of them played by gay actor Bette Midler.
And wait. Another Frank Oz movie.
That's right. Then he says, will any of these be the gayest movie of all time? Maybe not. Could at least one of them knock off Muppets Takes Manhattan off the top tier? Absolutely. And then he says, final question. What happens when the guest categories create a too long to handle scoring system? Just thinking ahead to the longevity of the podcast, I'm wondering if a year from now, episodes will be 3 hours long as guests go through hundreds of categories. Thanks for letting me rant. Bye.
I guess I have two answers then. The first one, how do we, they are not coach. We usually just ask what speak a movie you could speak passionately
yes, that you
about.
Want to talk about, and then as we've started to do these sort of themed yeah. runs of movies, we say something that fits within that theme. But by and large, we let them bring in a movie that they want to talk about,
because I do think it does show like how terrible, as we've seen, so many movies score poorly. Like
yeah,
things should be gayer.
Yeah, I agree, but I also think that. Most of these movies, some of them actually were pretty gay for the time they were in.
Sure. But it's 2019, honey. About to be 2020 in a few days.
Yes, queen.
And then what that was the
true.
Second part?
So people do bring in their own.
What are we going to do?
Oh, yeah. So we haven't fully decided that yet.
It hasn't been an issue yet, so we're not too worried. We do not want 3 hour episodes. No. I do not want to be doing this for 3 hours a night. But there will be some sort of grand culling at some point.
Yeah, we're thinking maybe at the 1 year mark. We're not sure. We're debating whether we want like you, the listeners, to sort of nominate things or have other people come on and nominate things. A lot of things are sort of up in the air still in play. If you guys have ideas, send them in to us. We We'd love to hear
them. Sure, we'll exploit
consider them. Yes, totally exploit.
We'll take your ideas, and you won't be rewarded at all.
well, it's not like they pay for the podcast. So it's
all right.
Thank you. Yeah. So it's something we are aware that could be an issue down the road. We're sort of talking about it, discussing it, but we haven't made any
decisions.
We've
added 27 categories since we've started the show, and the shows have maybe gotten 10 minutes longer.
This one is going to be close to an hour and a half.
And now we have these ending segments we're doing. We're just John and I talk to each other.
just us, like getting rid of any anger or animosity we got built up over the episodes.
That's the holiday spirit, isn't it, to bring this in for a landing?
Absolutely.
It's Christmas right now.
It's Christmas today. Thank you guys so much for listening to this podcast.
Guys make it all worthwhile.
Absolutely.
I'm amazed so anyone listens to this. That's just what I sound like.
No, it has been really delightful to do this podcast, and so nice that people seem to be enjoying it and responding to it.
And it's a joy to do it with my good friend, John
Flynn. It is
Flynn.
Absolutely a joy to do it with one of my best friends, Mark Rennie.
Oh, one of them.
We've been talking about doing a podcast for years. We finally came up with an idea that we liked.
It stuck. So I hope everyone has a safe, happy, and healthy holiday.
And a very gay holiday.
Yes. I hope you get butt-fucked underneath the mistletoe.
By not a direct family member.
Ideally.
Ideally.
A cousin, sure.
Maybe. Depending on where you're
from. You're not going to have a baby in the butt.
Not yet.
Not yet. Science, work on it.
We're working on it. 2020 is around the corner.
But that's it for now. We'll see you next time.
Goodbye. Merry Christmas to you.
Now it's time for credits. Produced by Alex Arche. Music by Danny Cohen. Art by Connie Shin. See you next Wednesday. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.